The Pittsburgh Savoyards are here. I'm going to head out to join them in that large space. We're going to begin with a scene. I think they are ready to go. Yes? Oh, I see. You're winding thread. And so I thought you were saying, like, stretch, stretch, keep going. But you're actually winding. I understand now. We'll find out exactly what's going on out there. There's a little fidgeting, I think. Here with our first scene, and we'll tell you a little bit more about the actors afterwards. This is from A Christmas Carol, the Pittsburgh Savoyards.
Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you.
Bah, humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Surely you don't believe that.
I do indeed. Merry Christmas. What reason have you to be so merry? You're poor enough.
What right have you to be so dismal? You're rich enough.
Oh, humbug.
Now don't be cross with me, Uncle.
What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this? Merry Christmas. What's Christmas but a time for paying bills without any money? A time for finding yourself another year older and not an hour richer. If I had my will, every idiot who went about with Merry Christmas on their lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Now, Uncle!
Nephew! You keep Christmas in your way and let me keep it in mine.
But you don't keep it at all.
Which is how I wished everyone kept it. What good has keeping Christmas ever done for you?
Well, there are many things from which I have derived good, but by which I have not profited monetarily, I dare say. And Christmas is one of those things. I've always thought of Christmas as a good time. A kind, forgiving, pleasant, charitable time of year. The only time of year when everyone seems to care about his neighbor as much as himself. When people actually stop and greet each other in the streets. When people open their shut-up hearts and view those below their station as fellow travelers on the road to the graveyard and not as an albatross around their neck. And so it has never so much as put a shilling in my pocket. I believe it has done me good, and so I say, God bless it.
Let me hear another sound from you, Cratchit, and you'll be keeping your Christmas in the unemployment line.
Now don't be angry, Uncle.
Nephew.
Uncle.
Nephew, nephew, nephew.
It was
quite an oration. I wonder you don't go into Parliament.
I am not rich enough to go into politics, Uncle.
On that, we can both agree.
Come, dine with Virginia.
No.
Why?
Why did you get married?
Because I fell in love.
Because you fell in love. It's the most absurd thing I've heard since Merry Christmas. Good afternoon, nephew.
I have never asked anything from you my entire life except your company at dinner. Why can we not be friends?
We are relations. We have no need to be friends.
Why do you hate me so much,
Uncle?
Because
when you came into this world, you... It matters not. Good afternoon.
But, Uncle...
I said good afternoon!
I am sorry to find you so resolute. We have never had a quarrel of which I am aware. And you are the only family left me, aside my wife. But I'll keep my Christmas nonetheless. Should you change your mind, you are welcome to join Virginia and I for dinner. Merry Christmas, Uncle. Whether you like it or not. And to you too, Bob.
Merry Christmas to you as well, sir. May the season do you some good.
You and your Merry Christmas. You're almost as bad as he.
I only said it back to be polite.
There is your first scene. You can applaud if you want. Let's at least let people know how many folks are here. What a great scene, and so many people know this play, A Christmas Carol. Let's meet the actors first. I'm going to stay over here on this side. I'll let you define yourself, introduce yourself.
Hi, I am Theo. I am an actor here at in Pittsburgh and at the Savoyards. And for this production, I'm playing Fred and young Scrooge, so two roles, which is very fun. But yeah,
Have you been in other plays with the Savoy Arts?
Yes, actually. My first show with the Savoy Arts was The Importance of Being Earnest in the summer. That was the first time I'd ever worked with the Savoy Arts. But I'd worked with Rob before that. So, yeah, little connections. The theater community in Pittsburgh is simultaneously very large and very small.
Yes, there's a subculture for everything.
Absolutely.
That's what I always say. Come on over and let me meet you.
Hi, my name is Todd. I'm playing Bob Cratchit in A Christmas Carol.
And that's probably a fun role to play, I would imagine. Have you done it before?
No, first time as Bob Cratchit. It is a fun role. You get to interact with Scrooge, and then he also has some big family scenes that are fun as well.
Excellent. Nice to meet you. And then we have Scrooge himself, who you... Radio is great. You were missing out on some of the hand emotions, particularly that Italian hand under the chin. That must be a signature move for you.
No, which, you know, it's not something that you would actually see on stage, but since I'm amongst friends, I thought we would have a little fun here in the studio.
I think it would be a good thing to do. Why not? You can, although it's probably not correct from a period standpoint.
I let my eyes do most of the swearing and gestures. That's on and off stage.
Good to know. Good to know. What's your name?
My name is Franklin Mosley.
And tell me about yourself.
So I am a Pittsburgh-based artist. I live in the neighborhood of Dormont, and I'm an opera singer, an actor. I'm a pianist and organist. I do many artistic things here around this city, but I currently have the privilege of playing Ebenezer Scrooge in this production of A Christmas Carol.
That's great. Did you go to high school in Pittsburgh?
No, I didn't. I'm originally from Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and so I graduated from high school there, and I'm an IUP alum, so I'm used to the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah, IUP's got a great school for music, too. Nice to meet you, and the play, I have all the... you know, the play, we're in the middle of the production, but it's actually going to be today at 2:30 as part of Light Up Bellevue Days, and tomorrow at 2:30. And it's at the Savoy Arts Studio Theater on Lincoln Avenue in Bellevue. It's easy to find right in the business district. And then tomorrow at 2:30. So you guys are going to be busy today at 2:30, tomorrow at 2:30. December 3rd and 4th, or 3rd and 4th, 3rd and 4th. And then the show will turn around Thursday through Sunday, December 8th through 11th, with shows at 7:30 Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and 2:30 on Sunday, December 11th. Bob, let's talk a little bit about the scenes that are going to come next. We want to be sure we get through all of them. Oh, I need to talk to the fidgeter. It was really great because it's a rubber band. Okay. It's invisible from behind my window there. And so all I could see was your fingers moving. And so in radio, that like kind of meant stretch, stretch, keep going, keep going. It's actually really kind of funny. Please don't consider it embarrassing. It was actually, it would be like seeing somebody riding a bike if the bike weren't present, you know, and it was a fun picture. I promise you, here's what we'll do. After the broadcast is over, I'll sit here and do that, and you can sit where I was.
Now I totally believe.
Yeah. Can you tell me your name?
I'm Sarah Deasy. I'm playing Belle.
Wonderful. Yeah. I'm glad you're here. And let's go back to Bob. I had said I would mention what that was. It's a fun thing. Have you directed the show before?
Yes, this year is actually the 15th anniversary of when I first wrote and directed this up at IUP. This is the 8th production of the script, but this is our first time tackling it with the Savoy Arts.
Excellent. And we'll talk about the scenes as they go, but is there anything special we should know about this production before we continue with this preview?
The biggest compliment we have been hearing from the audience when I'm lurking in corridors and they don't know that I'm there to hear is talking about all of the small connections that they don't get in the script when from the bigger productions, the musicals where you cut out characters to throw in production numbers with flying plates or whatever. And there's a lot of small little moments and justifications you may not get in other productions.
Excellent. Now, we're about to... The first scene seemed fairly self-understanding. I think you have these in order. Do you want to link us to the next scene?
So the next scene is where we meet the nameless charity workers, although in this production they are Mr. Wilkes and Mrs. Collins, named after Charles Dickens' best friend and fellow author, Wilkie Collins. And they unknowingly come into Scrooge thinking they can get money.
Do I have the pleasure of speaking to Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Cratchit, sir.
Mr. who?
Cratchit, ma'am. I'm the clerk. Mr. Marley has been dead 7 years this very day. This is Mr. Scrooge.
Ah, Mr. Scrooge. Good afternoon, sir. My associate and I are here seeking collections for the impoverished.
At this festive time of year, it is more than usually desirable that we make some slight provision for the poor and destitute. Many thousands are in want of common necessaries as we speak.
Are there no jails?
Sadly, many.
Are the workhouses still in operation?
They are, though I wish I could say they were not.
The poor law and treadmill are still in force?
Both are, regrettably, very busy, sir.
Good. I was afraid from what you had said at first that they had ceased their useful course.
But they hardly cover all that is needed.
A few of us are endeavoring to raise funds to buy food, drink, and warmth for the most destitute among us. After all, this is Christmas, a time when want is most keenly felt.
Many go about their day with ignorance of the dreadful lives many of our compatriots suffer day in and out. It is up to those of us who are blessed to help those who are not.
What shall I put you down for?
Nothing.
Nothing? With all your wealth, you wish to...
Wish to remain anonymous.
Oh, anonymous. That's very generous
of... I wish to be left alone. I do not make myself merry at Christmas, and I cannot afford to make idle people merry. My burdensome taxes support the prisons and workhouses. Let those in need go there.
Have you ever seen what conditions are like in those places?
Many would rather die than go there.
Then they better had get on with it and decrease the surplus population.
Many of them will over this cold winter with neither food nor shelter.
I will not put myself into a poorhouse to help keep those too lazy to work out of it. Good afternoon.
I'm so sorry. Let me show you to the door.
Such selfishness. I'd never thought it possible.
Merry Christmas.
What a great scene. And how long ago was this work? Do you know when it was written?
1843 is when the original novel was first published.
So a lot of things stay the same over time. Do you guys, the actors we haven't met yet, come on over. I'm sort of staying. Yes. You guys played a very convincing couple coming in, which was wonderful. What's your name?
I'm Tamara Marlies.
And a little bit about you?
I have been enjoying working with the Pittsburgh Savoy Yards for like the past year. And there's not much more to tell about me.
Well, that's good. What part of town do you live in?
I live in Ross Township.
Excellent. And it's great to hear that new people are coming to the Savoy Arts to join folks that have been part of the group for years and years. What's your name, sir?
I'm Mark Bowles, and I would describe myself as a struggling actor, okay, but a lover of A Christmas Carol, because I love the story that, be thankful for the gifts that you're given. And I think we should all live, you know, by that.
And what would you say? I want to be therapeutic here. What are the struggles? Is it just getting better on stage, or is it finding work?
where do I? No, there's a lot of work out there. And you know, as long as you're steadfast and you make the attempt. When I say struggle, is personal struggles. Trying to remember lines and not being fearful of being on stage and all that kind of thing. Yeah.
I think it's important to talk about that. A lot of folks who you would think are totally comfortable on stage, a lot of great actors have a bit of stage fright, very much so. Well, thank you. Nice to meet you both. And I do want to encourage you, if you have any comments to share with the actors, you can text them at 412-200-5975, and I will share them with the group. So feel free to do that, 412-200-5975. I now return to Mr. Hockenberry to find out what is next.
So as Scrooge is battered by requests for his money, which he quickly flicks away, he finally goes home to his revolting gruel, sits down by the fire, and the first of the ghosts, Jacob Marley, emerges from the fireplace.
Scrooge, Scrooge, Ebenezer Scrooge!
Who are you and what do you want of me?
Ask me not who I am, but who I was.
Who are you?
You don't recognize me.
I am unsure.
25 years we stared across a desk at each other, yet you don't recognize me.
Spectre, what do you mean?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Jacob Marley? No, it can't be.
You don't believe in me.
No, it's not possible. Jacob Marley's been dead 7 years this very day. I saw him dead with my own eyes. I must be imagining you. You're a hallucination.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Well, the senses are easily disturbed. Something I ate must be playing with them. You may be a bit of undigested beef. A blot of mustard? A crumb of cheese? Yes, there is more of gravy than there is of grave about you. Tell me, what is this?
A toothpick.
But you're not even looking at it.
Nevertheless, I can see it.
Well, all I have to do is swallow this, and I'll be haunted by goblins of my own making for the rest of my days. Some accidental apparition brought on by some spoilt gruel is not so strange a thing. I believe! Spirit, I believe! But Jacob, why do you come to me this night?
How it is that you can see me this night, none but a higher power can say. I have sat invisible beside you many and many a night, begging and pleading with you to see your error. It is a part of my penance.
You've sat beside me? Often? What error do you speak of?
It is required of every man that he should walk amongst his fellow men and help those he can. If his spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. Condemned to witness the joys which he might have shared, but which are forever denied him.
But Jacob, you walked home from work every day.
In spirit, I never walked beyond our counting house door. Now my spirit must wander the earth for all eternity. I cannot rest, I cannot stay, I cannot linger anywhere.
But why do you come to me this night?
Christmas is the time of year when people most open their hearts, and so the veil between worlds is thin. I have seen the shadows that are yet to come. Should things continue apace, this will be your last Christmas on this earth, and so my last chance.
Spirit, my last. Speak words of comfort to me, I beg you.
I have none to give. Have you ever offered words of comfort to anyone?
Spirit, you're covered in chains. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I forged it by the wrongful deeds I did to my fellow men. Each time I added to another suffering, I added another link. Each time I turned a blind eye to those in need, I forged another. Now I must wear this chain for all time.
Do all men have such a chain?
Aye. Each man forges his own chain by his deeds.
Do I, spirit, have such a chain?
Your chain. Your chain I have never seen its like before.
Dear.
It was longer and heavier than this 7 years ago when last I saw it. And you have labored on it since. It is a ponderous chain that you will carry. In this we are bound, your chain and mine forever entwined, for many of these links we forged as one. This link was forged when we denied Mr. Smythe a loan. To save his family, he turned to thievery and spent the remainder of his days in prison. This link was forged when we evicted the Beckett family. Their child lost fingers to frostbite that winter. This chain forged one link for every day we passed the beggar on the corner who starved to death from our lack of charity. On and on we built our chains, chain after chain, for we saw nothing but our bank accounts.
But spirit, I did not intend
for such... Intentions are meaningless when deeds do not follow. You are just as guilty as I. Spirit,
tell me no more. I cannot bear it.
Hear me. I have come tonight to warn you.
To warn me?
While you yet live, you have a chance and hope of escaping my fate.
I do? Oh, Jacob, you are always such a good friend to me.
Hear me. This very eve, you will be haunted by three spirits.
Are these spirits the chance of which you speak?
They are.
Oh, I think I'd rather not.
Without their visit, you cannot hope to escape my fate.
But spiritually,
expect the first when the bell tolls one, the second at two, and the third at three.
Oh, but Jacob, can't I take all three at once and have it done with?
They will come in their own due course. They have much to show you. I must be on my way. I can never stop. I can never rest. I must wander forever with this chain.
Spirit.
I can never stop.
Spirit, wait.
I can never rest.
Jacob, I must know.
I can never stop.
Please.
I can never rest.
Spirit!
Wow. Yeah, why not? Let's meet Marley's ghost.
Hi, my name is Andy Hickley, and I'm playing Jacob Marley.
And where are you from? You know, the sort of contextual, how do we fit you in? Start with birth.
Start with birth. All right, let's see. It was August 3rd, 1900. No, okay, so so I'm from Pittsburgh originally. I just moved to the Penn Hills area last year, and I've been doing shows at the Savoy Arts for about 6 years now.
Excellent. Nice to meet you, and thank you. Another scene coming up in just a minute. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on a great network of community radio stations and internet stations and streaming services. If you send us a text, you might want to sign it with your first name so we know. Somebody with a phone number ending in 65 writes, "You are conveying so much from audio alone. What a treat. I'm excited to see the show." And so thank you for that text. 412-200-5975. If you want to get a message to the cast as a member of the audience, I now return to director Robert Hockenberry to ask what happens next.
So after Marley leaves, the first of the promised ghosts arrives, the ghost of Christmas past, takes Scrooge to visit his teenage self in boarding school. We learn about his sister. We learn that his mother died of a disease that stole their family's entire fortune, which is a large part of his greed. And we move forward to the happiest Christmas of his life at Old Fezziwig's.
Ebenezer, I'd like a word if you don't mind.
Of course, sir.
Now, I know I said I didn't want any more talk of business tonight, but Mrs. Fezziwig says I can make this one little exception. Now, your time here as an apprentice will be up shortly after the start of the new year. Have you made any plans for a position once you leave here?
I've made inquiries, sir, but nothing opened up yet. It seems you need money to get a job to make good money.
Far too true. Ebenezer, you are a hard worker, the best bookkeeper I've had in years. I'd like you to consider staying on with me for another year or two. Work as hard as you have at the conclusion of your time. I will bankroll you to start your own shop.
Mr. Fezziwig, I don't know what to say.
Say you'll accept, dear boy.
Of course I accept. Oh, thank you. This is most generous. You will not regret it, sir.
I don't believe for a moment that I will.
This should make things a little clearer for you and a certain songbird.
Songbird?
Belle, that was wonderful!
You make your old mother proud.
Oh, you were entrancing.
Thank you, Ebenezer.
Mm. Mr. Fezziwig, we had better get around to greeting the other guests.
What? Oh.
Did you really enjoy the song, Ebenezer?
Oh, it certainly is better than the usual clank of cash registers around here.
Oh, such a flattery, sir.
I could listen to you sing for hours on end just to get the look upon your face.
Oh, Ebenezer.
I'm not the only one to think so. You managed to get Jacob to dance for a bit, and something I dare say he has never done before.
Oh, no. I'm not sure that's a good thing. I thought he was going to hurt someone.
Only his pride when he wakes up tomorrow when he realizes what he did tonight.
What were you and Father talking about?
Oh, just business.
Business? On Christmas Eve?
Oh, your father asked me to stay on here for a while.
Oh, and did you accept?
Of course.
Oh, Ebenezer, that's wonderful.
It will certainly make things a little easier. I was going to save this for later, but I have a Christmas present for you. Go ahead, open it.
Ebenezer, is this...
Belle Fezziwig, will you marry me?
Oh, yes! Yes, of course, Ebenezer, I'll marry you!
Oh, I know I'm only a poor clerk, but I will work hard and save every penny.
Oh, I don't care about money. All I need is for you to love me, and I'll be happy.
Oh, then you'll never go unhappy, for I can never stop loving you.
Oh, nor are you.
Oh, this is going to be wonderful, Belle. I just know it will.
Oh, Ebenezer! Oh! We should ask Father for his blessing.
I had forgotten that.
Father!
Well, there you've got another scene. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Pittsburgh Savoy Arts with some preview scenes of A Christmas Carol, which runs today, Saturday, December 3rd at 2:30, as well as tomorrow at that same time. It's at the Savoy Arts Studio Theater, which is in Bellevue. The show also runs this coming Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Let's meet the actors we haven't met as of yet. Hello.
Hello. I'm Jordan Hightower. So I will actually be playing Virginia instead of Mrs. Fezziwig, but I stepped in today since we were all out of Mrs. Fezziwig's.
Well done. I never equated Fezziwig with WYSIWYG, you know, the what you see is what you get typewriter or computer thing, you know. You wonder if WYSIWYG caught on because of Fezziwig. It never occurred to me. Come on over so I can say hello to both of you. You're the recently engaged. Congratulations.
Thank you.
In the play.
Yes, in the play. I am... Thank you. I'm Sarah Pahala, one of the Sarahs, and also one of the Bells, as it's one of the double cast roles. You're hearing from both of us today. And I am currently a Pittsburgh-based actress, and I debuted with the Savoy Arts last year in A Wonderful Life, live radio play that we were here for. Both Sarahs were involved in that as well. I was Mary in that last year. It's reprising at the Oaks the weekend after we close this show, and I have a degree in theater from Point Park, where my undergrad was, and I'm currently pursuing a master's in counseling psychology with a focus in expressive and creative and dramatic arts therapies. So talking about therapy earlier, I could therapize.
Where are you studying for that?
It is an online asynchronous program out of Florida, and it is completely asynchronous so that I can work full-time, do my acting, and get my degree all at the same time. So a little crazy, but it's a lot of fun. And perform here, there, and float around different theaters in the region.
Asynchronous, but everything comes in the right order, right?
I hope. I try. I try to make it in the right order. Some days, I don't know, but...
It'd be rough if they had you, you know, doing a clinical or something before taking basic... Thanks. Well, it's nice to meet you. And that sounds like a really great application of theater arts, too.
Yes, I've been on this journey to combine my passions and my love for the arts, and all, acting and performing will always be a part of what I do, and to combine it in that world as well. I think there's a big need for it, and we're all here for free therapy, so why not get paid for it?
spoken like...
And they all agree.
Spoken like a struggling artist. Well
some
done. let's meet young Scrooge here. You know the drill at this point?
Hi, I'm Dallin Morton. I'm actor and filmmaker. And I play young Scrooge and Fred as well, double cast role. And it's my first show here performing at Pittsburgh's Savoyards. And I'm loving it and love everybody here, working for everybody. It's been really a great experience. So I want to thank Rob for bringing me on board.
Great. Are you from Pittsburgh originally?
Yes, I'm Homestead originally. I'm living in West Mifflin now.
Excellent. Nice to meet you. Now we've got another scene coming up, and Rob Hockenberry will be ready to tell you about that as the actors take the stage once again. We have the other Sarah, who's probably playing a different role now. Tell me what's happening.
So as hitting off what Sarah said earlier, the entire company is either double cast or understudied. So it's literally a different show at every single performance, as giving people as much chance as possible in being prepared for bad things. So we're going to move forward 7 years after the engagement scene, where once again Scrooge is working on Christmas Eve instead of seeing his fiancée.
Before you start, and forgive me, Clara sent the email or the text to you earlier. Clara wanted to let you know how great the show is, and she was kind enough to text back.
Bill, it's just business. I promised you that it'd make a good living for us.
And I told you that all I needed was your love, nothing more. Sadly, that seems to be the one thing you can no longer give me.
I love you with all my heart.
I believe you did once, but your heart now follows a different idol.
What idol?
A golden one.
I am trying to ensure that we do not live in poverty,
as
my father failed to do.
You work all hours of the day and night, enjoying none of the simplest pleasures that life has to offer. You and Jacob are going to work yourselves to death.
We are merely diligent.
You make a profit off of the misery of others. Do you know what people are saying of you?
What do I care what they might say? Just jealous riffraff.
Father told me you denied him a loan. Denied the man who set you up in business.
It was a business decision, nothing personal. I have to put my wealth, our welfare, first. You don't know the harshness of being poor, of having everything you love and care for ripped away from you.
No amount of money could have saved Fan.
But it might have. Ugh.
You fear the world too much, Ebenezer. I have seen all of your hopes merge into the one hope of being beyond the reach of poverty. I have seen your nobler aspirations fall off one by one until greed is the only one left.
Life has made me wiser, but my feelings for you have not changed.
So you say.
They are the same as the day I proposed.
These are just words, Ebenezer. Your actions speak something else. Our engagement is an old one, made when we were both young and dreaming of growing our lives together. You follow a path that has room for only one mistress. Money. You've changed. You are no longer the man I agreed to marry.
I was a boy then. I am a man now.
Every time I used to look at this ring, it made me smile. But now, it just reminds me of the man that you used to be. It pains me that you are no longer that man. I must give this back. I release you.
Have I ever sought to be released?
In words? No, never.
Wait, what then?
In everything else. Time and again, you sacrifice being with me for work. Tell me. If we had not met those many years ago, would you still seek me out and
Belle,
woo me
I
now?
Don't want to
I
answer.
I should like to believe otherwise, but I cannot.
Belle, I still want you. I still want this to...
Do you, Ebenezer? Do you still want me?
I do.
Would that I could believe it, but I cannot. Though it may be selfish of me, I hope that some little of your love remains, that this may cause you some pain. You walk a path. I wish you happiness on the path that you have chosen, but for my own sake, I cannot stay to watch it. Know that a part of me will always love you. Goodbye, Mr. Scrooge.
Wow. Let's meet Belle, our other Belle. Hang on, Sarah. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Sarah Deasy. I play Belle. I'm from the Pittsburgh area. I went to University of the Arts in Philadelphia and majored in acting. Now I'm back here. This is my second show with the Savoy Yards. I was actually in It's a Wonderful Life last year with the other Sarah. I played every woman who wasn't Violet or Mary.
Have you played this character before?
No, I'm just really good at being angry at men.
I understand. I understand. It was great to see you play it. And
thanks
to you both. We have another scene coming up as we get ready. I'll remind you that today and tomorrow, 2:30 at Savoy Yard Studio Theater in Bellevue, you can see this play. And then the run continues Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 8th, the 9th, and 10th. Of December at 7:30 at the aforementioned Savoy Yard Studio in Bellevue, and then Sunday at 2:30 a matinee. Am I right about that?
Yep.
Okay, that will be at, there's one tomorrow, but also on December 11th. Now, Rob, what is about to happen?
So that's where our act one ends, and we don't want to give away too many of our surprises, but we do have two short scenes from the second act. This is a scene from The Ghost of Christmas Present showing Scrooge what he's missing out by not attending his nephew's party.
Fred, I thought you were going to invite your uncle to dine with us today. I was rather looking forward to meeting the infamous Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh, he did, Aunt. Tell her what your dear uncle said.
He called Christmas a humbug. And he meant it.
Well, shame on him for not faking himself too good to dine with us.
He's a comical old fellow, and that's the truth. He's not as pleasant as he ought to be, but his offenses carry their own judgment, so I have nothing ill to say of him.
He has quite the fortune, I've heard.
Oh, what of it? It does him no good. He doesn't sit comfortably with it, and he's not going to let any of us benefit from it.
At least not while he's still alive.
I have no patience with him.
I do. I feel sorry for him, and I couldn't be angry with him if I tried. After all, who is it that suffers from his whims? Himself. He won't come dine with us, but who suffers the most? Not us, with plenty extra to eat, but who himself who loses out on a wonderful meal and excellent company?
That's very kind of you to say, Fred.
Oh, he righty well has to say it. Can't very well insult his own wife's cooking.
Aunt Tupper.
I was merely joking, Fred. It was a wonderful meal, Virginia.
As I was saying, I pity the man. He loses great many chances for pleasant evenings by refusing my invitations. I plan to get the same chance every year, whether he likes or not. He may rail at Christmas until he dies, but I can't help he think better for it if he finds me going there year after year in good temper. If only he put in mind to give his poor clerk £50, that's something.
After all these years of turning down your invitation, how can you still think well of him?
He's my mother's brother. I mean, there has to be good in him. Besides, he's the only family I have left, aside from you, my love.
Oh, enough about the old miser. If he can't be bothered to join us, why should we waste any more time on him? Let's play some games.
An excellent suggestion. This topic is far too morose for Christmas. Any ideas?
How about yes or no?
Oh, I love that one.
I'll start then.
Very well. Is it a place?
No.
Is it an animal?
Yes.
Is it alive?
Yes.
Is it in this house?
Oh, thankfully, no.
Is it in this country?
Yes.
Is it in London?
Yes.
Is it famous?
Not really.
Oh, is it a bear?
No.
Is it a horse?
No, though it may resemble a part of the horse.
Is it kept chained up?
Oh, no. though it really should be.
Is it gentle?
In no way whatsoever.
Is it tall?
Average.
It doesn't walk on two legs.
It does.
Does it have a mean visage?
Oh, most assuredly.
I know what it is. It's Uncle Scrooge.
Yes!
But being as the answer is Uncle Scrooge, you really ought to have said yes to, is it a bear?
Since Uncle Scrooge has given us plenty of merriment for tonight, it would be ungrateful not to drink to his health. To Uncle Scrooge, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He wouldn't take it from me, but may he have it nonetheless.
To Scrooge!
Now, let's hope he doesn't charge us for wishing him well.
What a great scene. Whoever I haven't met, come on over. Hi. What's your name?
My name is Kira Varela. I was an understudy for guest one, and I also had to step in for guest two this time.
Great. And this will be fun because we just got a message from Kara. Anybody know Kara with a K? Kara writes, we're listening to this show on a radio in our living room. What a perfect cozy Saturday. Great job. I thought it would be fun because I can say Kira. Yeah. Kara. Yeah.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you, Kara, for your text to 412-200-5975. Is this your first show?
No, I've been in with the Savoyards. This is my 11th show here. So I've been with them since I was like 14, but I've been acting since I was, in general, since I was like 7 years old, so.
Well, that's wonderful. It's nice to meet you. And let's meet the sister, right, of Scrooge? Or sister-in-law? How does that work?
I'm actually, going into the accent, I'm actually playing Aunt Tupper, who is Virginia's aunt. So it's Scrooge's nephew's wife's aunt. If you can keep that straight.
I should have just asked your name.
Oh. My name is Leah Clocko, and I was in radio here in Pittsburgh for many years, retired in 2018, and I do acting locally, I do costuming locally, and this is my second time acting with the Savoyards. During the pandemic, they put on some video-only live streams, and so I was in A Matter of Husbands, directed by Andy Hickley over there, who was Marley earlier. And so this is only my second show, and I'm playing, in addition to Aunt Tupper, I'm playing Jonesy, and I'm understudying The Ghost of Christmas Past.
Well, you're a ringer, Leah. Now I know why your voice acting was so good on that part.
Still working on the actual visual, physical part of it.
But yeah, acting, you know. It'll come. Thank you. Now, we have one final scene, I do believe, and have I not, because I'm going to sneak back into the big studio, we haven't met. Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'm Kate Morosky, and I am playing Mrs. Kingsley, but I am also the understudy for the role I'm about to perform, which is the laundress in one of the future scenes.
Kate has the greatest dress. Christmas lights all over it. I thought it was Let's Get Literature at first, but it's only the first three letters of that. And no, we haven't talked. I had to think for a minute.
Hi, I'm Deborah Geary. This is my 10th year with the Pittsburgh Savoyard, so I've been around since 2012, and I am playing Mrs. Dilber in this production. So this is one of my favorite scenes because I get to eat some scenery in this one.
Ooh, very good. Yeah, I know you've been in so many. And Rob, how do we close up this? This isn't the end of Act Two. You don't want to give it away.
Oh, no. We have many twists and turns that I assure people will have never seen in A Christmas Carol. But this is one of the scenes most people know, just slightly tweaked for our production. This is a glimpse into the future of what happens after Scrooge dies if he does not change his ways.
Once again, with our thanks, the Pittsburgh Savoy Arts.
Oh, fancy running into you here, Mrs. Dilber.
I thought we might be seeing each other here tonight. And what did you grab?
Oh, just a few things he won't be missing now.
He won't be missing anything now.
here now? What's all this racket?
Oh, you hear the old skinflint died?
I heard it, but I didn't believe it. Evil like that doesn't die easily.
I'm sure the devil welcomed him with open arms.
Well, you've certainly come to me soon enough. Was the body still warm when you nicked this stuff?
Oh, I'm not completely disrespectful. I waited till the body was chilly.
What does it matter? Everyone has the right to help themselves. He certainly did.
That's true indeed.
Who's to complain if we did take a few things? Not a dead man.
No, indeed.
Besides, we're merely grabbing what was rightfully ours after all those years of overwork and underpayment from him.
Truer words, Mrs. Dilber.
You reap what you sow.
Besides, if he wanted some respect in death, he'd have earned some respect in life. Then maybe he'd have had someone to look after him instead of lying there all alone in the end.
Here, Mrs. Dilber. It's a judgment on him, it is. All right, which of you is first?
I always say ladies first. That'll be me. I wish it was a little heavier. And it would have been if I could have laid my hands on anything else. Open it, Jonesy, and tell me the value of it. I'm not afraid for her to be seeing it. We pretty much knew well we'd be helping ourselves after we met here.
His bed curtains? You don't mean you ripped him down rings and all while he was lying there?
I certainly did. He isn't likely to be taken cold without him, I dare say.
You were born to make your fortune.
Oh, add in his silver and his towels. Oh, and this fancy candelabra. Ooh. And how much is it worth?
I'd say it's worth at least 3 sovereigns.
Oh.
Ask for a penny more and I'll knock off 1/2 crown.
Oh, you're no fool.
All right, what goodies have you got for me?
Well, his blankets, his pillows,
ooh,
and where'd I put that bloody thing? Oh, yeah, this little thing here.
Hey!
Oh, that's tasty.
You're sharing that whiskey.
Hey! He didn't die of anything catching, did he?
Would I have carried it all down all the way from his house if he did?
No, I suppose not.
Oh, I just figured he died because his heart finally shriveled up and stopped working.
Oh, wait. I also nicked his shirt. It's a fine one. Won't find a hole in it. It's the best he had.
They would have wasted if you hadn't nicked it.
It's true.
What do you call wasting it?
They'd have buried him in it.
Oh.
He can't look uglier than he did in that one. I took it off and put him in calico. If calico ain't good enough for such a purpose, it ain't good enough for nothing.
He frightened all but us away when he was alive, so now we're left to profit from it now that he's died.
All right, let's go have a drink. Let's drink to his death.
Thank you to the Pittsburgh Savoy Arts, pittsburghsavoyarts.org for more details.